Take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Deuteronomy, please. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Computers, you can love them or hate them. Amen. It seems like, boy, when they're going good, it's a blessing. I decided today, I probably had a year's worth of stuff on my desktop. Now, you can just imagine what that looked like. And the little icons. And when Charity was home this last time, she or Elizabeth, one, they took Christmas pictures. No, it was one-year-old pictures of Olivia. And so they changed the picture on my desktop. And I didn't like all them icons interfering with that baby's picture. And so I don't remember who taught me this, but somewhere or another I had that thing picked up there where the documents are, and I just took them things and dumped them in the documents, you know, instead of the desktop. I was taking them. Some of them I would delete, and some of them I would cut and paste, and I thought, boy, I'm doing good. But when I prepared to preach this morning, that one document that I needed tonight was in the middle of that mess somewhere. And it was 6:15, and I could feel a bead of sweat starting to pop up. I spent all morning preparing, but I just couldn't find it. Amen. It reminded me of the story my grandfather told years ago when it was used to be frowned upon for a preacher to have any kind of notes. I mean, you're just supposed to get up and let God fill your mouth and preach. And this preacher come into the meeting early, and there was a knotty pine pulpit, and one of the knots had fallen out. And so what he done is he took his sermon, he rolled it up, and he stuck it in that knot hole to kind of hide it. You know, people would look at your Bible, look, see if you carry anything. Well, when he went up, come up to preach, he reached to get it, and he knocked it on off in the inside of the pulpit. It didn't have a door on it like this one. It was just a box. He hauled around for about 5 or 10 minutes, and he told him, he said, there's a good sermon in this pulpit if somebody would come up here and help me get it out. Amen. Well, that's the way I was feeling 6:15. There's a good sermon in this computer. Somebody come up here and help me get it out. I just like to... I'll show you anytime you'd like to see it, but I take my Bible program and just copy and paste the scripture, and then as God leads me as I'm going through it, I just try to develop what the Lord's put on my heart. There's one phrase tonight that really jumped out at me this morning and got me started in this chapter. Let's read this together. The Bible said now in chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, verse 1, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son, thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. It's amazing to me how the Lord works. I mean, you can go all the way back to Sunday school Sunday morning. Now, that's not the phrase I was looking at. I'll get to that phrase, but just I want you to think tonight as we're reading the Bible, even if I don't preach tonight, which I will, the Lord willing, just think about Sunday, the emphasis that the Lord put on the Word of God, the emphasis the Lord put on that first commandment, love the Lord thy God. Let's go on. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, shalt talk of them when thou sittest in the house, in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine head. They shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and upon thy gates. It shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee unto the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells dig, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandment of the Lord your God, his testimonies, his statutes, which he hath commanded thee. Thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence. Here's my text tonight. He brought us out from thence that he might bring us in. He brought us out that he might bring us in. And the word of God said to give us land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. If you remember that little phrase, observe to do, we found that in Joshua in that verse concerning success and the only time that the word success is used in the Bible. Let's pray just a minute, and I want to kind of look at a thought tonight and think about out with the old and in with the new. God brought us through a year, but he brought us out of that year, and he brought us into another year. And I want to parallel some things here, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you tonight. Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege to stand and to open the Bible, to read the Word of God. I pray, Lord, tonight that you would, Lord, just bless it. And Lord, as we break the bread of life, I pray you'd bless our dear people. Lord, I pray you'd shower us tonight with your presence, with your power, and Lord, with your blessings. Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you, God, for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I just want to go down through here tonight, and there's three things that I want to key in on, if I may, this evening, in this text, as God brought us out that he might bring us in. You know that in the Word of God, that Egypt is a type of our old life, a type of our sinful life, our sinful ways, the days that we were in bondage. And as we look at that tonight and think about how God brought us out, he brought us out of that. And by the way, any doctrine that teaches you can go to heaven still living in that's not a Bible doctrine. Amen. There was a song, Brother Ralph, I can't remember the name of it now, but it talks about crossing over the river, And it's giving a illustration of heaven, going over into heaven. But really, the promised land is not really a type of heaven, but more so a type of a victorious Christian life. Because when they got into Canaan, there was still battles to fight. There was still land to be possessed. There was still spoils to be taken. And so tonight, when we're looking at the new, we're not talking about heaven as much as we are a victorious Christian life. Let's just give you the first thing tonight. I thought about this. I wrote down these words, a need to rekindle or refire. Rekindle. In when you go out of the old and come into the new, I thought about my son. He went over in Virginia somewhere, and he bought a really nice wood stove. And you can go down there, and sometimes the fire has died down. And sometimes it's 80 degrees in there in the basement, amen? And sometimes that's how we are. Sometimes we're red hot, and sometimes the fire dies down, and we need to rekindle some things in our life. And there's several things here that I underline. The first is our fear. The Bible said in verse number 2 that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. I don't have to explain that to you, but that's not a backing up in the corner and afraid God's going to hit you with the stick. But it's a reverential fear and trust and knowing that he is in his rightful place as our Heavenly Father and as Lord in our life, and that we respect him and we revere him. So I believe really that's one of the things that's wrong in our country. There is a lack of the fear of God. They came out with a phrase several years ago, no fear. And it's plastered all over windows and all over bumper stickers and all over youngins' notebooks and things like that. But the Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We'd not even begin to wise up until we fear God. Amen? And so we need that fear rekindled. And then our fervor or our fervence rekindled. In verse number 5, the Bible said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. How many knows that as we go into a new year, there's going to be some competition going on? There's going to be things that the world is going to bring and the flesh is going to bring and the devil's going to bring. And what it's doing is competing for our love, competing for our attention. Jesus told him over there in Revelation, the church at Ephesus, he said, you've left your first love. He commended them on several things that they were doing right. He said, but I've got somewhat against you because you left your first love. Oh, you know what I believe tonight? That backs up something I've been saying for years. We didn't lose it. We left it. Amen. I've often said, you know, that the joy of God's salvation, it's not something the devil steals from us. It's something we trade for something else. Amen. We do. How many knows that's a bad trade? Whatever you trade joy for is a bad trade. And whatever we trade this love, the love of God for, is a bad trade. So we need to rekindle our fear and our fervence. And then in verse 7, our faithfulness. The Bible said, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Wow. This word of God that's being presented here, the statutes, the commandments, the law of the Lord, are to be taught diligently. That's speaking of faithfulness. And the word of God in verse number 3, hear it. Observe to do it. Heed it. Hear, O Israel, in verse number 4. And then we ought to help others in verse number 7. Teach the children the word of God. He said, thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Sounds like Psalm 1, doesn't it? Remember? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. I got it wrong. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Which one's second, Brother Brian? Standeth in the way of sinners?
or setteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's what's going on here. He said, when you get up, when you go to bed, when you're walking, when you're in the house, the word of God is to have precedence. And we need to rekindle our faithfulness to the word of God. Let me give you this tonight. Not only that, rekindle. You know, somebody wrote a gospel song several years ago, and there's a line in it that comes to my mind. It says, the flame has flickered, but the fire has never gone out. I say hallelujah right there. And it won't go out. If it's real, if it's not strange fire, if it's off of the altar of God, the fire of God will never go out. Amen. The flame might flicker, but the fire will never go out. I've told this story before, but I remember putting that bucket of ashes in the back of that little S10 Chevrolet pickup truck. I love to talk about that truck because I can be funny. Just like Brother Brian can be funny. I can be funny talking about that truck. First time my brother drove it, he said, I stepped on the gas and the motor hollered back and said, what'd you say? I mean, it was weak, buddy. I told another guy, I said, did you know that that 4.3? No, a guy told me. He said, that new 4.3 V6 in them Chevrolets, he said, that's a 350 with two cylinders cut off. I said, well, I can tell you what the 2.8 is. He said, what? I said, that's the two cylinders they cut off. I mean, it was weak. It's a great truck in the snow because it didn't have enough power to spin a wheel. I mean, it would climb a tree in the snow. I'm telling you like it is. We got out there cleaning up the porch one day. And we cleaned up a lot of things, the house, the basement. And normally I take my ashes, throw them across the fence. But I was going to the dump anyway next morning. So I took that bucket of ashes. They'd been sitting there for 3 days in a plastic bucket on the back porch. And I set them over in there with all that newspaper. I can't remember what else was in there. There's a bunch of stuff in there. It made a good fire, whatever it was. That night the wind got up, Brother Arnold. Now all I can think is that wind got the stirring in that bucket of ashes. And that wind found something that was alive down in that bucket of ashes. It looked like it was dead. It felt like it was dead. But down on the inside, there was something that caused me to lose the whole truck. I didn't know anything about what's that insurance called? Comprehensive insurance. Didn't know a thing in the world about it. I thought you either had to have liability or full coverage. Called my insurance company. They said, well, you could have been covered for $13 every 6 months. I said, how come you didn't tell me that before now? They said, well, we really don't talk about it because we don't have much to gain by it. This is a test. I was being tested. Yes, I wanted to get in the flesh. Somebody help me right there. Amen. I sure did. I'm saying this tonight. Rekindle. That spark's down in there. Amen. Let God, the Holy Spirit, blow on that and rekindle that fire. Amen. That fervor, that faithfulness. Then tonight, let me go secondly in the message. We'll talk about out with the old and in with the new. I know this is the application here is where the children of Israel came out of Egypt. And this is really something needed tonight. The second word, not only rekindle, but we need to remember how quickly the children of Israel forgot where they were, the condition they were in, and how that God brought them out that he might bring them in. We need to remember. Let me give you just several things tonight. Number one, we need to remember our Bible. The Bible said in verse number 8 here, thou shalt bind them up for a sign upon thine head. They shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. I believe God wants us to remember our Bible as we come out of a year and come into a new year. God wants us to remember our Bible. I tell you tonight, listen to me. There are a lot of churches where you don't even have to carry a Bible to church anymore. They've got some little leaflet of some kind in the back of the pew. And you just get it out and you just read along with the preacher as he reads what's in the leaflet. How many knows I'm telling it right? I tell you, we need our Bible. We need to remember our Bible. Amen. I thank the Lord for our Bible. And then secondly, look at verse number 10. We need to remember His blessings. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which He sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, wells digged that thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Listen, I believe God says, hey, I want you to remember the blessings that I've bestowed upon you. Now listen tonight. Listen tonight. Somebody might say, well, preacher, I have been blessed, but I worked for it. Nothing wrong with that. I'm proud of my son that way. My son has been blessed. He has worked hard. I was talking to that teenager today. I was telling him, you know, that when my son was growing up, from the time he was about 12 or 13 years old, he had two responsibilities that were not questioned. He was to mow the grass in the summertime, and he was to get the wood in the wintertime. He said, preacher, I just don't believe you ought to drive a slave like that. I tell you what it did. It created a work ethic in him. Amen. I mean, he went to work, and he's worked hard and still works hard. But listen, I'm not saying tonight that we should say, well, we need to remember, you know, how hard we worked, or we need to remember that we earned it. Listen to me carefully tonight. The Bible talked about Nebuchadnezzar said, the hand in whose, God's hand in whose thy breath is. I tell you tonight, the Word of God said, in Him we live and move and have our being. Brother Steve uses a term that I've not heard a lot in my life, but he uses the term skill set. And we've all got a different skill set. But how many knows where it come from? Amen. And we need to remember that every blessing, every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I read something today. I thought you would enjoy it. And talking about remembering. I've never heard this story before. And this came from Paul Harvey in 1977. That was the year that I graduated high school. And we're talking about remembering now. Somebody once said that sometimes we're like hogs. We're under that oak tree and we're gobbling up acorns, and we never look up to see where they come from. And sometimes they're hitting us in the top of the head while we're gobbling them up. Amen. The blessings of God. We need to remember His blessing. Listen to this. I believe it would be a blessing. It is gratitude that prompted an old man to visit an old broken pier on the eastern seacoast of Florida. Every Friday night until his death in 1973, he would return, walking slowly, slightly stooped, with a large bucket of shrimp. The seagulls would flock to this old man, and he would feed them from his bucket. Many years before, in October of 1942, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker was on a mission in a B-17 to deliver an important message to General Douglas MacArthur in New Guinea. But there was an unexpected detour which would hurl Captain Eddie into the most harrowing adventure of his life. Somewhere over the South Pacific, the Flying Fortress became lost beyond the reach of radio. Fuel ran dangerously low, so the men ditched their plane in the ocean. For nearly a month, Captain Eddie and his companions would fight the water, the weather, and the scorching sun. They spent many sleepless nights recoiling as giant sharks rammed their rafts. The largest raft was 9x5, the biggest shark 10 feet long. But all of their enemies at sea, one proved most formidable: starvation. 8 days out, their rations were long gone or destroyed by the salt water. It would take a miracle to sustain them, and a miracle occurred. In Captain Eddie's own words, Cherry, that was the B-17 pilot, Captain William Cherry, He read the service that afternoon, and we finished with a prayer for deliverance and a hymn of praise. There was some talk, but it tapered off into the oppressive heat. With my hat pulled down over my eyes to keep off some of the glare, I dozed off. Now, this is still Captain Rickenbacker talking. Something landed on my head. I knew it was a seagull. I don't know how I knew. I just knew. Everyone else knew, too. No one said a word. But peering out from under the brim of my hat, without moving my head, I could see the expression on their faces. They were staring at the gull. The gull meant meat, if I could catch it. And the rest, as they say, is history. Captain Eddie caught the gull. Its flesh was eaten. Its intestines were used for bait to catch fish. The survivors were sustained, and their hopes were renewed because of one lone seagull. Uncharacteristically, hundreds of miles from land, offered itself as a sacrifice. You know that Captain Eddie made it, and now you also know that he never forgot. All those years he went back, carrying a bucket of shrimp to feed the seagulls, because God sent a seagull. I say, hallelujah. Let's not do like the children of Israel and forget where the blessings come from when God brings us into the land of plenty. But let's remember and refuse to forget. Lest thou forget, he said, the blessings. Lest thou forget the Lord thy God. Oh, beloved friend, we need to remember his blessings. Then let me give you this in verse 12. Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. I say this tonight. I'm taking it in the order God gave it to me in the chapter. We need to remember our Bible. We need to remember his blessings. But help me right here tonight. We need to remember our beginnings. We need to remember where we were when he visited us in the land of Egypt. When we were in bondage and could not help ourselves, Brother David, we need to remember and never forget the good hand of our God that visited with us and helped us and pulled us out of the muck and pulled us out of the mire and helped us across the river. I say glory to God. We need to remember our beginnings. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him. Swear by his name. Thou shalt not go after other gods, of the gods of the people which are round about you. The Bible said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. I looked that up, and if you go back to Exodus 17, verse 1 through 7. How did they tempt him? They said, is the Lord among us or not? I'll tell you something. Listen to me carefully right here. Think about this. I'd hate for our church to get in such a shape that we'd be sitting here saying, is the Lord among us or not? Help me tonight. You say, preacher, how can we see to it that it never gets in that shape? I'll tell you how. Never forget. Never forget. I'll tell you something right now. One thing's wrong in our country. We've forgotten our roots. We've forgotten the men and women that died for the freedoms that we enjoy today. Now the very government that we're under is taking those freedoms. God help us. God help us. Remember our beginnings. And then let me give you this, and I'm finished tonight. My throat's okay. It's just full of sheetrock dust. It'll wash out after a while. At least it always has in days gone by. But we need to rehearse. I think this is important with our children and our grandchildren. I go back to Christmas Eve. The look in my grandson's faces. As Papa did his best to describe what our Lord went through on Calvary. You say, preacher, you ain't got no business telling young children that. Honey, when they're old enough to be mean as the devil, they need to hear about the one that died for them. Let me rephrase that. When they're old enough to be as mean as their papa, they're old enough to hear about the Jesus that died for them. Amen. We need to rehearse. What do you mean, preacher? Look here in verse number 20. And when thy son asketh thee in a time to come, what mean these testimonies and statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. Wouldn't it be good, Brother Rose, if one of them grandbabies one day would say, Papa, how come you and Mama always going to church? You could just rehearse. Or, Papa, how many years you been going to church? You can just rehearse how God brought you out of Egypt, brought you out of sin, put you in the family of God, give you a reason to shout, give you a purpose to live, give you a home in heaven. Just rehearse. Sometimes I think we, even as we live right here in the middle of the Bible Belt, so to speak, the buckle, sometimes I think we assume that everybody knows why we go to church. Everybody knows why we carry a King James Bible. And everybody knows why we pray. And everybody knows why we witness. I'm going to tell you, everybody don't know. I think some people think we do what we do because we can't find anything better to do. Truth is, I can't find anything better to do than to serve the Lord. Amen. We're looked at, I guess, by some as being fools. The Apostle Paul said we're fools for Christ's sake. Amen. In the eyes of the world. When we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. I wonder how many times some of those children heard about the flies, heard about the frogs, heard about the lice. I wonder how many times they heard about that water that turned to blood. But you know what I believe? I believe when a dad or a papa sat down to tell those things, I believe he just kindly rushed through, Brother Steve, those first nine, because he just wanted to get over to that lamb. The reason you're here is because God told us that we could take a lamb and shed that lamb's blood. We need to rehearse. Put that lamb's blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. The firstborn died that night in the land of Egypt. But son, the reason you're here is God spared your life. There was a lamb took your place. I say praise His name. The Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all of his households before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. I'm done tonight, but let me give you this thought. This could be the year that God gives us the land. Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. This could be the year that we would move in to our real home. Amen. He brought us out that he might bring us in. It amazed me, Brother Brian, this morning, in just one little chapter in the Word of God, how the Lord has taken us right back through Sunday. That don't bother me. Don't bother me a bit. I still don't know what God's plan is for Wednesday nights this year. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take it one Wednesday night at a time. But I've got a deep, settled peace. He wanted us to know tonight he brought us out so he could bring us in. Amen. I mean, he's glad you come tonight. I mean, he's glad he brought you out. We've got some teenagers in our church we need to be praying for. There's kids riding these vans and coming in and out. We need to pray God will bring them out. Bring them out. Bring them out. Bring them out. That he might bring them in. Father in heaven, thank you tonight for the privilege one more time to open this precious old book, the Bible. Lord, this man and his crew, that their lives were spared because of one seagull. And Lord, he determined in his heart that he would never forget. Lord, it reminded me of the book of James when you said, faith without works is dead, being alone. Help us, dear God, to show the world our faith by our works. Help us not to forget. Lord, with us, it wasn't one seagull that made the difference. It was one Savior, one Lord, one God, and Father of all. I pray, Lord, tonight, draw us nearer. God, draw us nearer as you bring us into this year. Nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. In Jesus' name, amen.